Are you having a hard time finding a godly spouse? Check out Help Meet Singles, the network for godly single men looking for a helpmeet and for godly single women looking to be a helpmeet. Our network users are endorsed by their pastors or fathers and committed to our firm standards of biblical orthodoxy, gendered piety, and personal holiness. Kiss the dating games goodbye and say hello to the intentional pursuit of marriage. Apply for free at helpmeetsingles.com.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here with my husband, Jared, this morning.
Good morning.
We are out on a back patio, and the sun is just coming up.
The humidity is already here, though.
I know it is.
It's sticky.
Shit, we switch her off. It's hot. But we cannot see the sunrise because we are facing
north.
I
are directionally challenged.
Try it. And I was going to say north because I know that that's east.
That's right.
You proud of me?
I'm very proud of you. If I say to Jordan, hey, we're going to go east or it's north, south, it means nothing. It's like
no,
Spanish. Or
and you continue to do it still.
Mm-hmm. Like the northeast corner.
Like, it's in the northeast corner. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Pray for her, everyone. Maybe other ladies are directionally challenging.
No, Becky knows.
Yeah.
Becky will do that to me and say directions. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Most men are better with navigation skills than women. I think that's a safe thing to say. Mm-hmm. Because I think most women have just kind of trusted that their husband knows where they're going.
Well, the men would go out on the Viking ships. The women stayed home.
Yeah.
We don't need to
know. They didn't have to navigate. No. They didn't have to know the stars.
I don't need to know the stars.
The worst thing in the world would be to get on a boat and the lead navigator is some lady. Like, it's like worse than a car parts store. We would go to Napa.
I more than you.
We would go to Napa when I was a kid. And if there was a lady up front, my dad would say, can I talk to a man? Like, no shame at all.
Yeah. Like, is there someone who knows something here?
I'm not talking to a lady at this front desk. No thanks.
But we've been sitting outside on our back patio in the mornings, every morning this summer, and it has been, I loved it. Have you liked
it's
it?
Great.
We've tried to elevate our back patio experience out here, and it's been way more used than normal in the summer times.
It's been very good.
I made a little outside kitchen situation so that I can cook out here in the summer while the kids are playing, and I also brought out like a big wooden cutting board so that I can even like do prep out here. I'm really
you should
digging.
Post it.
I did. I posted it on Instagram yesterday.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm digging.
Well, we're going to have an addition back here. We're building a dining room and then we're extending our patio out. Our patio will be about 20 feet out from where it is right now in our house. And where our patio is will actually be a dining room and pantry. And so
sitting room area back here with a fireplace.
Yeah, with a new wood stove. With another wood stove, second wood stove. But our seating area, we'll still have it. It's just going to be moved out. So we'll have to adjust to that a little bit. But I think it'll still be nice.
Yeah.
I think it'll be nicer, actually, because it's going to be, I think, pretty like aesthetically appealing.
Yeah. But anyways, today we are going to be talking about a new book that Jared, well, a chapter from a new book that inspired this talk. You want to tell about your book?
John Plowman's Talks. So John Plowman, Plain Talk to Plain People. It was Spurgeon's writing to just the average farmer, the average man throughout England. And it was one of his most selling books ever. I mean, he had published so many sermons and he had the 12 sermon series. He's had, I don't know, he's like one of the most published English authors ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're everywhere. Everybody knows Spurgeon. Everybody loves Spurgeon across denominational lines. Presbyterians and Baptists. Well, I was trying to look that up and it's hard to get a publishing list because there were so many that were published by so many different publishing houses. I think he wrote 157 books and he died at 57 years old. So he published independent books, not just sermons that were collected into books, but personally wrote that many books. It's unbelievable. But John Plowman's Talks is really, I think this one I got is the standard edition. I was able to find one that was on eBay and it was still okay. The binding is okay on it. It's coming
it's
loose,
fragile.
But it is from like the 1800s or early. In the cover, it says to Ethel from
Gertie
from Wilfred. And it has a date on it. Gertie of Wilfred. July the 20th, 1910.
I love it that it says to Ethel from Gertie of Wilfred. Like, I want to start calling myself Jordan of Carbondale, but that's not that exciting.
Yeah, well, Jordan of Carbondale Township.
Yeah.
Jordan of almost DeSoto. Our backyard, our beyond our fence line is DeSoto, and we are Carbondale.
Yeah, but I think that's so cute. So you think that it's late 1800s, that book?
Yeah, it was published in the late. It was published in the late.
Figure out.
Yeah, well, I mean, he died in 1892. It's actually, it was originally published in his lifetime. So it would have been, but this book, I think, is a little bit older, unless it was a used book and sold. But I think it was, I'm not sure, because there's no date on it. The cover page that has the date is gone. So I don't exactly know. It's old. But we're reading that book. There's several good chapters. There's a good chapter on debt. And
that you're going to do a podcast on.
Yes, correct. I'm currently editing that right now.
So if you want to hear an episode on debt from that book, be looking on the Shepherd's Creek podcast.
Yes. And then this chapter was good advice for wives. And I said, oh, great, Jordan, I'm going to read a chapter in here. You got to read this. And then I read it and it was fascinating. But primarily he was talking to men, because how many men were talking down to their wives in public or down about their wives in public in London, and how that culture there had always been, you know, the wives of the gossips. And that's always been the case. Wives are gossipy. But he says, hey, listen, men are gossips too. And the way men speak about their wives is improper in public. And it was really good. It was actually more towards the men to speak in honorable ways about their women and their wives than it was about wives. And the other chapters before that have a lot to do with wives and gossiping women, and how there's women who want new flowery dresses. Like in the chapter on debt, he talks about how many of the women want their latest fashions and all this, and how much ruin that can bring to a family with wanting the newest fashions from London or from France and all this kind of stuff. Well, this chapter, he just goes into how disrespectful it is of men to talk publicly about their women in ways that are improper, saying that the best, I think there was one in there where it was like the best day of married life is the day they get married and the day the wife dies.
Yeah, he gave a few examples of awful things that people say about their wives.
Yeah.
He even remembered like some poem from memory. That, remember the little poem that he had in there?
Yeah, I wish we had it here in front of us to be able to read it. I should have brought it up.
Do you want to go get it?
Sure.
Cats are fighting. We have a mama cat and a kitten, and the kitten is now like a teenage kitten, you know, no longer a baby kitten, and she's still wanting to nurse, and it's real, really annoying the mom.
Because we need the four examples. We need the, for example,
yeah,
on the streets of London. Mm. Let me look this up.
There's the poem. This is the little poem.
Okay.
Okay, Jared went and got the book from his office.
So here are a few examples of what was said that he was kind of correcting. So the quote I just mentioned, every man has two good days with his wife. The day he marries her and the day he buries her. And here's another. He that loseth his wife and a farthing has the great loss of the farthing.
So,
okay. So here is a poem that he wrote down that was from a ballad. So it's a ballad from Gaffer Brooks. There was a victim in a cart one day for to be hanged, and his reprieve was granted and the cart made for a stand. Come marry a wife and save your life. The judge aloud did cry. Oh, why should I corrupt my life? The victim did reply. For here is a crowd of every sort, and why should I prevent their sport? The bargain's bad in every part. The wife, the worst, drive on the cart. And then one final one. If there have no doubt been some shockingly bad wives in the world who have been provoking enough to make a man say, if a woman were as little as she is good, a pea shell would make her a gown and a hood. So these are examples that he brought up. He threw them out there of what the streets of London.
And we chuckle
like
at them, which I think is the base of why a lot of men and women talk badly about their spouses, is to get a chuckle. And something that we wanted to talk about today is to guard yourself against speaking ill about your spouse, even if it is to be funny. And it's wrong, because God tells us to speak honorably of one another. And not only is it putting your spouse down, but it also is sowing seeds of discord in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And anyways, this was a great chapter, but we wanted to talk a little bit about speaking honorably of your spouse.
Well, I think most of your listeners understand that disrespect in public of their husbands is out of bounds, that you don't publicly talk bad about one another. I think that's a very true thing. Most of your listeners know that. I think that's something that people, especially in our church, there is no culture of the women talking badly about their husbands. And there isn't a culture of the men talking badly about their wives either. So I think publicly, but also privately in your heart, it's easy to believe the worst about each other or even verbalize to each other things that are disrespectful or dishonorable and quite unhelpful in marriage, rather than biting your tongue, holding your tongue, saying things that are loving, and then the wife saying things that are respectful, because that's our obligation, love and respect, and that should be then demonstrated verbally.
Yeah, well, I just read this proverb this morning in my Bible reading plan. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So it's like, even if you're dumb, if you just close your mouth, it would help you.
Even dumb idiots can sound smart.
Shut up. Quiet
in the corner.
Yeah, just be quiet. And maybe someone will deem you intelligent. But I think that's a very good wise saying. It's like, if you can't control your tongue, then just be quiet. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have something to say all the time. Our culture is full of people that are just magpies, that you have to just be saying something all the time to fill the air. And you can really be quiet, and that can be a really good and profitable thing for your life, mm-hmm. that you can have a gentle and quiet spirit. And that is way more profitable than just saying something to get a chuckle and it's at someone else's expense.
Yeah. Well, I think this kind of conversation requires some self-awareness, because there are some people that lack self-awareness, men and women included, where they don't know what they're doing or verbalizing, and they may not know what they're doing and verbalizing is being hurtful to their spouse. And men and women both have to grow in self-awareness. And one of the best ways that you can do that is just asking your wife, and then wife asking your husband, hey, do I disrespect you in public? Do I say things that embarrass you at your expense? Because some people may not know. And it may be something that's been festering underneath, and there's been frustrations there, where it's good to be able to ask, hey, am I being loving to you? You know, on the man side, am I being loving to you verbally, publicly, or do I say things that hurt you in public or anything like that? And that can help with, you know, really understanding this conversation. Are you doing what John Plowman says you shouldn't do? Maybe you don't even know you're doing it. And I think there's certain people always who really struggle with self-awareness, where they do things they don't really understand. Everybody has a little bit of autism in them, I've realized, in some way or another, where there's some aspect of your life that's a little bit underdeveloped, mm-hmm. and then you can be a little bit socially awkward. Mm-hmm. And if you're that socially awkward type, it might be good, ladies, to go to your husband and ask, have I ever disrespected you in public, or do I say things in public that are dishonorable to you? And then let the husband say back, yeah, you do, or this is really embarrassing. And then have the wisdom, ladies, to say, okay, I need to not do that. I shouldn't do that. And that's going to be really, you know, helpful, I think, in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And both ways, I know there's more ladies listening than men, but if there's men listening in, obviously you want to ask your wife, is there anything that I'm doing that's unloving towards you, or disrespectful, or jokes that I say to my buddies in, you know, public that you don't like? That could be helpful if I didn't do that anymore. And then just have that conversation.
Yeah, the man should be praising her at the gates. That's what you want in your marriage. You want a husband that wants to praise you at the gates. The public response to your private life should be good things.
Yeah.
Your husband has to say about you, not that the day you die is the best day of his life.
Yeah, right. Well, Proverbs 31 woman, in all ways, by her office and her actions, won the respect of her children and the love of her husband. He loves her well. And at the city gates, he's not talking about his old bag.
Yeah.
He's talking praises. Yeah, Ball and Jane. He's talking praises about his wife and praising her there. Mm-hmm. In public, to his peers, he's speaking well of his wife. That's what all men should be doing. Mm-hmm. And ladies who make that really difficult to do, it's not that the obligation still isn't there on the man to speak well and honorable and loving about his wife, but don't make it hard for him to do that, to where you literally are just, you know, putting the knife in the side and twisting every day of his life, making mm-hmm. his life miserable. That's why there's warnings all over Proverbs about the woman who's the nag. And you don't want to be that kind of woman, making it hard for your husband to speak well of you. You want to be the kind of woman that it's easy for your husband to speak well of you, because you're a blessing to him and you're a glory to him, rather than being a curse.
Yeah. Tell about the Wrangler Star.
Oh yeah, the Wrangler Star video. Wrangler Star is a YouTuber, and he was ranting every once in a while. He has what he calls his furious rants, and he's on video. And he said that he's angry this morning, and I had to make a video, a furious rant. It's been a while since he had made one, he said. And he saw a video online, and I guess there's a trend online where women will publicly shame their husband or their boyfriend for something that they do. So they'll show a TikTok video or Instagram or something of something that their man did that they didn't like or they think is silly, and then, you know, get a good kick and giggle about it. Well, he's ranting because this man built a chicken coop for his wife.
And she showed a Pinterest picture, yeah, Pinterest, like, pictures. Hey, build me this chicken coop.
Yep, and he did the best he could, but apparently it wasn't all that great. And she goes out to make a video and shows how bad of a job he did and posts this video out everywhere making fun of her husband. Well, he saw this trend and just was furious about it, the disrespect. And he said that this would never happen in their life. She would never do that to him. And I think that needs to be a literal vow that women make, to never publicly disrespect or even privately disrespect their husband. Because this whole idea of love and respect, peace, men need to make a vow to always be loving their wives in ways that are the best way possible to their wives. And this is something that every man needs to be trained in and to be reminded of, to love their wives well. But ladies need to make a, just draw a line in the sand, never disrespect your husband in that way. And that's what he was talking about, because how disrespectful that was publicly to that husband. And that literally will shrivel a man up at the soul level. To have a woman that he loves disrespect him publicly will literally be death to a marriage. It is something that's so difficult to overcome, because that love and respect piece is so critical. And that's why loving a woman is so critical and important, that it is so difficult for a marriage to move forward if the man isn't being loving towards his wife in the same way with respect to the husband.
Well, we're reading My Dear Hemlock right now in Christchurch Ladies Book Club. And there's a section in there where, you know, it's written like Screwtape letters. So it's like, you know, these demons talking about the patient, and she gets married, and they're like, you know, it's amazing how men really do rise to their wives' praise, I guess, or shrivel to their disrespect. And I think that is true. It's just wired in a man where whenever they are given this respect and esteem and told that they're, almost all men are words of affirmation people, like, build them up, tell them what a great job that they're doing, that you respect, even if it feels awkward to you. I mean, I think it feels awkward to me a lot to be like, I really respect that you did, like, it feels awkward to say those words. It doesn't feel natural. I try to force myself to say the awkward thing, because I'm like, he knows I respect that he does that. But trying to say, like, hey, I really respect that you did that. You're doing a really good job. You're crushing lately. You're double crushing. It's been really busy and you're double crushing. And saying things like that, even though it doesn't feel very natural, I think it's really important to put those seeds of growth towards your husband, because it builds up his character and makes him feel valued. And I mean, maybe you should say this instead of me saying, I think it makes, but I do. I think it makes him feel I think it makes you feel valued. And I think it makes you feel like, I'm noticing that you're working really hard.
Well, love and respect is fuel in marriage for your spouse. It's unconditional. It's not conditional. That's the thing that messes so many marriages up, is that the idea is, I'll do my part if you do your part. And the other side is saying, I'll do my part if you do your part. And the unconditional nature of marriage is that I love you no matter what. That's my call. It's not, I'm supposed to love you if you respect me well, if you do this, 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 or that. The same way with respect, it's an unconditional thing. And the wife can build her husband up if she just respects him in her duty to just respect him. That's respect the office. He's the husband. He's the man of the house. Respect. And it does build the husband up. When I hear words of affirmation right now like that, or you recognize and you do say, yeah, you've been double crushing, it's like, thank you for noticing that. That's really great. It does. It's like this weird, it scratches this weird itch. I don't know. It's just.
I am the man.
Yeah, yes, right. I'm the man. Yeah, I am double crushing. That's right. Thank you for noticing. And it's in a proper way. I mean, that's the way God has wired a marriage to work, in these two ideas. And that's why, like, what was it, Gary? I forget the guy that wrote the book, Love and Respect, but it's almost as if the Bible says this, and it does. And it's just so easy. It's so simple. Marriage problems boil down to this. Almost always, like 99% of the time, the husband is not respected and doesn't feel respected. the wife is not being loved and doesn't feel that she's being loved. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to those ideas. So if you can push back the feelings in a lot of times and just say, okay, come back to the fundamental reality. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, if you are listening in, love your wives and make that your aim, and not if she and not if he, but just with a big period on the end. Respect, love, and things go well. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
And maybe if you're like, I don't feel loved, maybe you should look for the ways that he actually is showing you love. Like, is he bringing home a paycheck and you have food on your table? Like, he is showing you love. So compliment the ways that he is showing you love. Like, objectively, he is loving you by giving bread to your children, you know, and not be looking for a Jane Austen style of love that maybe isn't very practical mm-hmm. in your season of life. Maybe you're in a season of life where it's just love is very practical right now and not starry eyed. And that's okay. But then verbalizing, saying, I feel really loved when you do this. Mm-hmm. That's okay to say too. Like, I love it when you do this. It makes me feel so loved. And just giving each other those cues of, I feel really respected when you say that, or mm-hmm. I feel really loved when you do that.
Yeah, I think it's a both and when it comes to, there are many husbands that are respected by their wives, but they don't feel that they're respected by their wives. There are many wives that are loved by their husbands, but don't feel that they're loved by their husbands. And the thing with the love language is that's been a good and bad thing, is that there, it feels like this elusive thing for a lot of men to try to love their wives in the way that their wives feel loved, even though they're trying the best they can to love. And we always need to grow as men in demonstrating that love in ways that their wives, that our wives most feel that. That is absolutely true. But it's a two-way road where the wife has to understand that and see, as the husband has to understand and see, that he does, your husband does love you. And these big item things, big things that he does, do demonstrate that. And the husband has to understand your wife does respect you, even if she doesn't verbalize it all the time. She does respect you. You can't let your feelings or, you know, guide what you think your marriage or the barometer of your marriage, where I'm not feeling respected or I'm not feeling loved, and see the big bullseye that, wait a minute, yes, of course she respects me. Yes, of course he loves me. It's just that, it's just this feelings thing that's always the barometer, and that has to go to the side. And certainly we have to grow in those ways that we feel loved and respected and should do that. But those big picture items, you have to be able to recognize that there are many women that are loved well by their husbands. They just don't feel that way. And there are many men that are respected well by their wives. They just don't feel that they're respected. So don't let that be the barometer of where you're at. What's up with all these flies? What is the key? Maybe listeners, you understand, we're sitting on the back porch and some mornings we come out here, there's no flies. And then the next morning we come out and there's billions of them everywhere. I can barely drink my coffee without drinking fly in my coffee. Like, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've been trying so many different things. I have essential oil citronella diffusing right now by us. I've been cleaning out here with like a pine and lemon scent, trying to make that. We always blow it off so that there's no food crumbs or anything.
If there's any food crumbs, we spray.
With a hose, clean it off if someone eats out here. So, listeners, if you know the secret to repelling flies in the outdoors where you're sitting in your patios and stuff, please write in. I'm begging of you. Okay, so maybe if you have a Pinterest fail, you post your own Pinterest fail, not your spouse's.
You go there. We led up to this. So here's the big takeaway. If you're posting something on Pinterest, make it not make fun of your spouse.
Yeah.
And if you're a man listening in, don't say to people, the best day of my life was when I got married. The second best day of my life is when she's going to die.
Yeah. That's probably the big takeaways from this. But yeah, you can get fixated on the things that your spouse is not doing the way that you wish they were doing. And instead, again, we talk about this all the time, your life should be one of gratitude. Like, if you want to have a happy life, be grateful. Have a life of gratitude. So look for the things that you have to be grateful for. Look for the things that you have to respect. Look for the things that he's doing that is showing you love. And instead of looking for the socks that are still on the floor. And
I don't do that anymore, though.
And just picked up your socks this morning, literally 15 minutes ago.
Okay, those are clean still. I need to get those. I just put them on last night.
They're in the floor.
Okay.
But yeah. I respect you.
Okay. And I love you.
Anyways, love and respect. Don't talk bad about each other. And maybe, like the proverb says, you should just close your lips, because then maybe someone will deem you intelligent instead of letting...
A fool.
Yeah, instead of letting things fly.
That's good.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.